Good morning, Coastsiders. This is Ruben Truthmaker. Welcome to a special memorial edition of Coastal Windage. It's Friday, January 27th, 2023. Everybody, I'm sure, is aware now of what happened on Monday, and so that's why we're having a special memorial edition of Coastal Windage. And I want to start the show. We're going to have a lot of special callers, and hopefully a lot of people from the community will call in. This is our chance to talk about it, to heal together. And right now we have a special call from our congressperson, California District 16 congressperson Anna Eshoo. And Anna is on the phone with us right now. Congressperson Eshoo, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Chris. Thank you for doing this today. And it's good to be with you. I think the way back to healing is by pulling together. So thank you for doing this.
It really means a lot to our community to know that. And I'm sorry, I talked with your aide, and I know that you're literally 10 feet off of the House floor right now, waiting for a vote. And so it really means a lot to our community to know that you're thinking of us and you're taking time from the important business of the country and District 16 to reach out and send a message to us, because, you know, our community is reeling right now, and we're geographically isolated out here, and sometimes we feel politically isolated. And so it's really, really comforting to hear your voice.
I carry all of the community with me. It's been a week that I don't think there are really words to describe, you know, the range of emotions that we're all going through. But again, I think being together, pulling together, speaking about how we feel, what we do next. I believe in prayer, and I'm going to, at the end of this session of votes, I've invited the entire California delegation, members of the House, to join me in memorializing those who lost their lives on Monday, and to remember this magnificent, small, tight-knit, beautiful community. So I hope that can be part of the healing as well.
Yes, I'm at a loss for words right now. It's hard to describe, you know, the emotion here. But again, knowing that our congressional representative is not only aware of what's going on, but is intimately involved and interested in our well-being goes a long way towards, you know, making us feel like we can get through this and emerge.
Well, you're helping to do that, Chris, by pulling us together and creating a special place for people to call in to express how we feel. It's just so important. As I said, I don't think there are any words to describe all of this. But this one person, I have felt like I was just walking underwater all week, and waking up in the middle of the night, not knowing what time it is, and then recalling what has taken place. So we're going to do this together, and I think that what we do about some of the ills on the coast side relative to working conditions for farm workers, that will speak volumes about all of us together and really what needs to be corrected.
Yes, well, we're going to have Councilperson Joaquin Jimenez is going to be in the studio with us today, too. And he is, you know, an expert on that situation. And I'm really looking forward to hearing his thoughts on the conditions. Right. We've got several issues that have emerged from this incident on Monday.
Right.
And one of the most important ones is, you know, what underlies these tensions. It's the difficulties that the farm workers face in their daily lives. And that's not an excuse, but it is, you know, it is a factor in the situation, and it needs to be looked at when we look at the whole incident. That's part of it.
Exactly, Chris. It's not only, I always think that whenever we have a challenge, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for all of us to come together and do what's right and correct the wrong. So Chris, thank you for doing this today. It's important. It's generous. It is. It's healing.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you, Congressperson Eshoo. Really appreciate it. And we look forward to...
Well, please call me Anna.
Okay. It's hard.
Please call me Anna.
I just have such respect for you, your career, being elected to Congress in 92, which my wife and I remember 92 as a big year where...
That's right.
Senator Feinstein, Senator Boxer...
Year of the woman.
Exactly. I mean, it was a big year.
I think they just meant it for that year, but we've kept adding women. But you're very kind, Chris, and bless you for your important good work and what you're doing. It is very important.
Well, thank you, Anna, and I'll let you get back to the House floor.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye, everyone.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, co-siders, that was our congressional representative, Congressperson Anna Eshoo, who represents our district, California District 16, and we just had her on the phone, and she was expressing her emotions and condolences for what happened here on Monday. Okay, as I mentioned, we're going to Councilperson Joaquin Jimenez is in the studio right now. We're going to have him on the air with us in just about 5 minutes. I think this is going to be a really important discussion. Nobody works harder in this community, for this community, in my opinion, than Joaquin Jimenez. And there's not a more appropriate person to discuss the conditions of the farm workers as it relates to this situation than Joaquin. So I'm really honored to have Joaquin here, as well as to have had Congressperson Eshoo, Anna, as she wants to be called, by a regular layperson such as myself. I really appreciate that. Okay. Co-siders, last Sunday night, so this past Sunday night, at the Lion's Den, also known as the Event Center, on Kelly Avenue, in the heart of Half Moon Bay, the co-side enjoyed one of the most genuinely joyous evenings I can remember in the last 20 years. The Harlem Wizards basketball team / entertainment troupe were in town to a sold-out Event Center, over 850 smiling, happy faces to see the Harlem Wizards take on a team of local educators and, air quotes, celebrities in a fun and funny and entertaining night of basketball antics and just showmanship. There were so many kids running around at halftime and running around the court. They let all the kids come down. There was basketballs flying. The Wizards signed autographs. The game was fun. Everybody just had an amazing time. And it was just what the community needed after 2 weeks of storms and property damage and the major disruption of our lives and routines caused by the closure and damage to Highway 92. I was there. And I left the Lion's Den that night with just a permagrin on my face. I couldn't stop smiling the rest of the night because of the genuine joy, just the unfiltered joy that I saw. And it was like a release. Again, for 2 years of COVID, the Wizards hadn't been here since 2020 because of COVID. So a return to normalcy, not just from years of COVID, but from 2 or 3 weeks of all of the disruption of the storms. And here we were Sunday night, and we were on our way back, right? And Monday dawned with sunny, clear skies and a similar co-side disposition, right? I think people woke up Monday morning feeling like life is good. You know, that sunset Sunday night was amazing. We had literally weathered the storms, and we were ready to get on with the exciting potential of a brand new year. And yet, by 4 p.m. Monday, the good feelings and optimism of Sunday night were gone, shattered by gunfire and tragedy. And once again, the coast side found itself the destination of news trucks from all over the Bay Area and the country as reporters descended upon our shaken community to broadcast their live reports. And soon, we learned that seven people had been shot to death in two different locations in Half Moon Bay. Even more disturbing. Well, two different locations is disturbing enough, right? That means two different locations on either side of town. But even more disturbing, maybe, was that the shooter was apprehended in the parking lot of Shoreline Station, just yards from the community skate park, Cunha Middle School, the Lion's Den Event Center, and apprehended around 4 p.m.-ish, right around the time that school children from Hatch, Cunha, Half Moon Bay High School were walking home from school, were gathering for basketball activities and after-school sports and after-school activities at the Boys and Girls Club or at the Ted Adcock Center, which was right there as well. It's scary. As San Mateo County District Attorney Steve Wagstaff said on Tuesday, this is an unprecedented event, not only for the coast side, but in fact for all of San Mateo County. So, of course, we're rattled. Such events, mass shootings, that is, are always traumatic, but especially for small, close-knit communities like Newtown, Connecticut, Parkland, Florida, Uvalde, Texas, and now Half Moon Bay, California. Here at KHMB and Coastal Windage, we know the emotions are still raw and in many cases unprocessed. And so that is why we are dedicating today's show to the victims, their families, first responders, and all Coastsiders. We're all affected by this. That's one of the things that makes us the community we are, that we are so close-knit and tied together that when something like this happens, it ripples through the entire community. We have a show dedicated to this topic today. We don't have any other topics for today. We've rescheduled our Shooting the Breeze live interview with artist Jane Kim and Thayer Walker of Inkwell Studios for Friday, February 10th. And today's show is a chance for the community to grieve, to find solace, and maybe, as Anna Eshu said earlier, start to heal just a bit. Whether you knew anybody involved or not, this is a devastating and disturbing event for all of us. And again, today's show is a chance to share your feelings, okay? Discuss issues raised by Monday's event and heal both individually and as a community. KHMB is your community radio station, and Coastal Windage is your local platform for live real-time discussion. Let's have that real-time discussion. In just a minute, we're going to talk to Joaquin Jimenez. And we're expecting calls from other local politicians who want to express their feelings about this. And we want to hear from you, Coastsiders, as well. So please call 650-560-9851. And please understand, we have multiple phone lines. We're expecting a lot of calls. So if you get a call and you get a busy signal, please try again. That means that we have so many calls that our phone bank is flooded, and that's a good problem, but I know it can be frustrating. So if you get the busy signal, just try again, and we will get to you as soon as you can. And remember, when you call in, this is a live show. We are live right now. It's 9:15. We're here on Main Street. This is live, and so when we pick up the phone to speak to you, you will be live on the air speaking to your fellow Coastsiders. Okay, and when you call in to share a collective Coastside hug with us and the rest of Coastside that's listening. And you can call and you can talk about, how are you personally affected by this? What was your experience on Monday? What needs to change on the Coastside and in general? And how and where can people contribute? Another important thing that I, as a parent, am grappling with is, what do we tell our children about this? All right. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, on khmbradio.com, 100.9 FM, 1710 AM, streaming live on khmbradio.com. brought to you by Cameron's Pub and Restaurant. Cameron has been part of the attempt to heal the community. Governor Newsom was here on Tuesday. You know, Cameron is intimately involved in our community, and I appreciate his sponsorship of this show and his heart for the community. Cameron's Pub and Restaurant is a sponsor of this show. Thank you very much, Cameron. Okay, right now we're going to go. We have Councilperson Joaquin Jimenez. Joaquin, good morning.
Good morning.
Joaquin, I've wanted to have you on the show for a long time because I really respect you, and I kind of a hero of mine locally, and but not this way, right?
Thank you. Yeah, this is not a... I mean, I don't want to be here for this. You know, I would rather be here for, you know, to talk about a celebration or an accomplishment of our community. But unfortunately, you know, we have to share in with the community about what happened. Yeah, what are we going through, and about our loss of farm workers, family members, dear friends.
Joaquin, I mentioned earlier in the show that, you know, I know that you are such a humble person that you will defer this compliment. But in my mind, you are the most knowledgeable, most involved person and the public face with regard to farm workers here on the coast side. If there's something going on, if somebody needs help, I know you're there. And so some people, as an element of this tragedy on Monday, some people are saying that one of the things that has surfaced is that the conditions of which farm workers work and live and are paid is shockingly bad. And I guess it's a little shocking to me to hear that people are professing to just be becoming aware of this. I know that... We saw the movie. You were part of the movie. The movie Campesinos that played at the Beach Break Film Festival focuses on farm workers in San Mateo County. And if people had seen that movie, they would not be surprised to hear about these conditions. Can you speak to some of these conditions and how it affects farm workers? How it affects their daily lives?
First of all, you know, thank you. There's a lot of us in Half Moon Bay that work really hard, you know, for our campesinos or farm workers in the community. And other essential workers, it's just not me, it's many of us. It is unfortunate, though, we have to go through this to put a light, you know, what is happening, you know, in our community. It's something, you know, I'm very familiar with. You know, but I also have to respect, you know, what the farm workers say to me. You know, when it comes related to the housing, I don't know if you noticed, but it's been a few years already that I have been pushing for affordable housing, farm worker housing. It's nothing new. But I cannot bring up topics like the way our campesinos live, you know, or respect to them. One of the things, you know, they say to me, Joaquin, if you don't have a better place for us to go to, please don't say anything. What happens? You know, the solution to a problem is going to be worse. One of the farm workers commented to me, like, would you rather meet by the creek in a tent? He was, of course, joking about it, right? But it's like, that's how the farm workers live. And not only here in Half Moon Bay, other parts of the county. We have, in Half Moon Bay, I've shared many times, other people doing city council meetings have shared, we have families of four or five, you know, in one room, parents and teenagers. So that's why I keep pushing for affordable housing, for low-income housing, for worker housing. And that's for mental health. Just think about it. Working all day, working long hours. You want to go home and rest. And you have a small piece in the room, a small corner in the room for you to rest. Because it's going to be your children, your spouse. This is mental health. Right, so it's a tragedy that we hope to find a good solution for. Congresswoman Ana Eshoo commented, you know, it's an opportunity for us to actually show that we care.
you know, when these excuse me, when these mass shootings occur, there's usually a, you know, an initial outrage of vocalization. We need to do something about it. But then there's usually a counter statement of like, but not right now. It's too soon. With regard to the conditions of that the farm workers live in, I get a sense that it's going to be a similar thing of like, okay, everybody's upset, outraged at the conditions they work in, but what's going to happen? You know, like in a week, will this, you know, now's not the time. We've got to heal. We've got to do other things. But when will be the time?
Actually, right now is the time. I would like to share with you that as of yesterday, our local representatives, you know, the city of Half-Moon Bay, the mayor and our council member, together with County Supervisor Ray Mueller, Assembly Member Berman, and other members of the community, visited a site for potential farm worker housing. So we are moving. There's a lot of things happening in Half-Moon Bay, but we are moving. If one thing I keep repeating is that when people ask, when they found out that I was running, and they say, well, can you not a politician? I say, I'm not a politician. I just like to get things done. Right? And that's what we have to do. You know, we have to go knock on doors to get things done. After the cameras, after the spotlight, after everybody leaves, we have a lot of work to do, a lot of work, and it's going to be nonstop. We haven't stopped. But we haven't stopped since we came out to, you know, to city council meetings in years back, you know, pushing for things, you know, for to build affordable housing, low-income housing for our community. It is part of our priority as a city, right? But right now, I'm positive and strongly support the city staff for the work they have been doing in the last years. A lot of work. It's nonstop. We're looking for the sites to build. But, we need our community. We need our essential workers. We need our farm workers. We need our teachers. We need our firefighters. And we need housing. And, you know, from this tragedy, you know, this is what is going to happen. We're coming united. We're getting together. We're going to find solutions fast. And we're moving fast.
I mean, that's really encouraging to hear. I guess we have to take the silver lining or find the good that we can in this situation. And if it accelerates the process towards better living conditions, then I guess, you know, something positive has come out of this. Let me ask you this, Joaquin, the new advisory committee, the Farm Workers Advisory Commission that has been set up to help farm workers and their families navigate a variety of situations in life that's hard for farm workers to deal with. Do you feel like that is having an impact, is that more than just a political committee or a governmental committee?
No, it's more than that. I spoke with one of the members yesterday who was preparing the agenda about what is going to be happening in the next few months. And also would like to actually let you know, follow up on the previous question. Yesterday I was on the phone with somebody from the office of the governor. You know, it was a follow-up from a conversation that we had with him when he was here on Tuesday. So things are, you know, are moving forward. I'm going to be receiving another phone call today from his office. And the, you know, the Farm Worker, you know, Commission, it is a true thing. We have farm workers that are representing the farm worker community, well-spoken farm workers that know the situation, the living situation, about the needs of a farm worker community. And I'm not part of it, but I'm going to be there.
I'm sure that you will, Joaquin. You, I think there's six of you because, like I said, you are everywhere.
Don't say it too loud.
Right.
I think one of me is enough, but, you know, just keep it quiet. There's a few others out there.
Can you say a few words about ALAS and the organization, what they do, and how people can contribute or be involved with ALAS right now?
A couple of days ago, I met with somebody, you know, on the street. You know, usually take my walk, coffee, pastry, you know, in a local bakery and coffee shops. And this person came over and he said, Joaquin, I want you to know that what I see right now, ALAS is the moving force for the community. ALAS has been nonstop since we were here with the pandemic. You know, the farm worker community, ALAS has been nonstop. We've been advocating for so many things, we running our pantry. We're going 3 years running our pantry. I continue to serve, a lot of our community members, the mental health support that we have, the clinicians that we have visiting the farms. And we're going to continue to do that. The education programs that we are offering, innovative idea that, we share with the community about, Equity Express Farm Bus. They're going to be visiting the farms. Just like the city of Half Moon Bay, from the December 31st, when we were first here with the first flood, in Half Moon Bay, all our staff, the city of Half Moon Bay have been nonstop. And like you were mentioned earlier, things were getting better, and then we get hit with this tragedy. And Alice was the first one, to be there. And as soon as we heard about the shooting on Highway 92 by Spanish Town, my reaction was, I'm going to call the mushroom farm. I don't know if the community knows, but about 6 months ago, there was another shooting at the same location.
Right.
Nobody was injured, but there was a shooting. So that's why I reacted, and I called the first number, and there was no answer. I called the second number, and the farm worker picked up. And I asked them, are you okay? What happened? I heard there was a shooting, near the farm. And she shared with me. Two people have been shot and are dead. He couldn't say much. There was the deputy was already, law enforcement was already there. So they asked him to hang up the phone. But we knew something had happened. On that same day, all our staff was there twice. We were there in the morning to bring a few items for the farm workers, and went back again. Two members of the team, of the farm worker team, went back, to deliver a few more items. And now, in minutes from that, they were at the office when I received the call about the shooting. So all our city is a moving force. Dr. Belinda Arriaga, an angel of the community, with her vision, with her leadership, that's who Alas is.
I like to, when I go to an organization's website, I like to look at their board and their staff and read their bios. Who are the people behind the organization? And I encourage everyone who is listening now to go to the Alas site, Ayudando Latinos a Soñar. To go to the website and look at the programs and services you're offering, but also read the bios, because when you read the bios of the folks that work there, I'm blown away.
Yeah.
Such an impressive roster of folks that work for Alas. No wonder they are, and I agree with you. / the force in the community that gets stuff done, that really gives, in my opinion, everyone hope for a better world. And Joaquin, you are so humble, but talk about the angel of the community. You.
This is my community, this is my family, and this is, just like Alas, we are a community, for the community. And I grew up in Half Moon Bay. I know the community. Farm workers, professionals in our community, business owners. This is our community.
Let me ask you for a comparison, Joaquin. When we think of our coast side and what Alas does for our coast side, and what you help with that, and your advocacy, do other, let's just say down in Watsonville or Salinas, do they have similarly strong organizations with leadership like Alas has, with energy and vision and the ability to navigate the system and get things done? Or are we unique here?
Well, there's other organizations, in different areas of the state. But I wanna take a little bit of light. Alas is a unique organization. We have organizations from other areas that come and see into our program. They visit, our leadership. They want to hear from us. How and why is Alas being so successful at what we do? And you know why? Because we create a relationship with the community. We care about our community. If you see the people that are part of the Alas organization, they are members of our community. They live here. Mm-hmm. They grew up here. And that's what makes it very successful. But we don't take the spotlight because we want to take the spotlight. We do what we do because we know it's needed. You know, and we care. Like I said, you know, this is family. This is familiar to us. Right? So I have no question, never doubt the staff at ALAS that we're going to do what is needed. And other organizations do similar things. Right? But we have heard, you know, from different groups that come from different areas, you know, ALAS is setting up the bar, you know, what we expect out of our community organizations. And we are humbled to hear that. We're humbled to hear that because, you know, I mean, we all care. The city of Half Bay cares. And that's one thing that I'm very proud to say, you know, I'm from the coast side. Because during the pandemic, many people from our community came forward. You know, during the fires, a lot of people from the community came forward. The floods, and now this, a lot of people are coming forward. And not just from the coast side, San Mateo County, from the peninsula. You know, people that I never thought I was going to hear from, you know, came forward. How can we help? And that's what makes us, you know, unique. You know, Half Moon Bay, you know, the coastline, San Mateo County.
Yes. I mean, I feel that, but sometimes you wonder if, well, that's because we're here. And, of course, we feel that we're, you know, unique and different and special. But
I see
it's real.
It. I see it. It's real. It's not that I feel it. I mean, I do feel it, but I also see it. You know, when people, you know, walk the talk, like, what do you need? How can I help? Said, well, this is what we need. This is how you can help. And they're there.
You had mentioned that, you know, ALAS does what they do, and they don't do it for attention. They do it for the people, right, for the farm workers. But as a byproduct of what has happened in the national spotlight, do you think that ALAS can serve as you kind of said, as a role model for other organizations, not only in California but across the country, that this spotlight that unfortunately has been shown on Half Moon Bay, with ALAS leading, you know, playing a big role in the healing process and the helping process, that this will have a beneficial effect beyond the San Mateo County and the coast side, as people look at ALAS as like, this is how we can do it.
Yeah, it is happening. It's already happening. Last year, we had a group of almost 100 people came to a retreat in Half Moon Bay from different organizations to learn from ALAS. And we're talking about from others from different states, you know, Washington State, Oregon, California, Southern California, Colorado. So people are already coming to Half Moon Bay, you know, to visit ALAS. You know, our initiatives that we are pushing forward, you know, Equity Express Farm Bus, is something that we eventually want to, you know, share with other communities, you know, bring it across country. It's a mobile resource unit, you know, to serve the community in need.
Again, I know, Joaquin, that you are so humble, but do you ever think about moving beyond Half Moon Bay City Council to State Assembly or State Senate or U.S. House of Representatives as a way to affect even greater change?
Not thinking about it right now.
Yeah,
you know, we have a really good group. On Tuesday, when I had the opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with the representatives, I acknowledge, you know, who we have, and we have the dream team. You know, that's who we have. You know, local government, and county government, state government. You know, Supervisor Ray Mueller is really stepping up, right? Our new elected Senator Josh Becker is really stepping up. You know, with the leadership, you know, Congresswoman Anna Eshoo, you know, and other, you know, representatives, we have a dream team.
I mean, that's really good to hear. Hold on one second, Joaquin. I have a couple more questions for you, but we've got a phone call here. We'll see who we've got on the phone. Good morning. You are live on the air with Ruben Truthmaker, Joaquin Jimenez on Coastal Windage. Who are we talking with this morning?
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Rick.
Hey,
how you
Rick.
Doing?
We're doing well, Rick. How about you?
We're holding it together. Hey, thank you for everything you're doing here today, and to remember the victims. And not only that, but to remember the people that had to live through this. And the companies and the people that still work at these companies that have lost coworkers, and now they're going to have to deal with all kinds of issues. Mental health is such an important topic these days, and I can't stress enough to just make sure to be kind to everyone. And you don't know everyone's story. You don't have to like everyone. You don't have to be friends with everyone, but just do your best to be good to everyone. Thank you, Joaquin, for everything you do.
You're very welcome, and thank you.
Thanks, Rick. Amen to that, buddy.
Good day.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I mean, everybody in your busy lives, take a pause of, like, we are all humans, and there needs to be a level of respect for each other as a baseline for how we go through society. Again, maybe this event causes people to pause for a second and take stock of themselves. You know, what can I do better? Well, Joaquin, let me ask you this. I said, if there's something going on, or even if there's not, you're there helping out, bringing a truckload of supplies, talking to people, holding hands, whatever, talking with policymakers and decision makers, making decisions, formulating policy. How do you recharge? How do you stay energized? I'm guessing you're going to say, the work gives me strength, right? But at some point, you got to be tired, you know?
How do I recharge? I guess, you know, being close to my loved ones, you know, spending quality time, you know, with the people that I care about and people that care about me and people that I love and they love me back. And this, we live in a beautiful community. You know, part of my recharge is taking a hike. You know, Wednesday afternoon, you know, I was up in the hills of La Honda on a hike. Took a few phone calls from over there, a few messages, but overall, it was, you know, quality time to be there. You know, to be there, to have the support right next to me, you know, and be both of us enjoying the view. You know, hikes, walks around the coast, you know, riding my horses, you know, half from bay to half from bay, visiting our local restaurants, having conversations. I really like having conversations with our community members. You know, in that I've seen that he fills my cup back up again. Mm-hmm. You know, when I hear the community members, when we accomplish something together, you know, it's never by myself. Anything I do, is I'm never alone. You know, it's always somebody there. It's just phone calls and late text messages, you know, with my dear friend Belinda. You know, always checking in. How you doing? How you feeling? I'm feeling good. I'm doing well. You know, so that's, you have to take advantage of that. You know, for mental health, you know, as we've been talking about, and people have said to me several times this week, you know, take care of yourself. You know, rest, eat, drink your fluids, you know, exercise, whatever you need, you know, take care of yourself. Because, you know, after everybody leaves, we're still going to be here, right? But we have a very, I think we have a very supportive community. And my coworkers are very supportive. My family, my personal family is, you know, very supportive, you know, what I'm doing, you know, what it's, you know, they understand, you know, that the time that I'm taking to get us through this. You know, but I say, I'm not alone, you know, never alone.
Right, so yeah, part of that question was, right, who cuts the barber's hair? You're there for everybody. You're worried about everybody's mental health. You're providing for everybody. Who provides for you? And your answer is the community and people in your life provide for you. And that feels like an obvious answer, right? But I feel like that's part of the imbalance in our culture and our society right now is reach out, make those connections. And fill your cup with the love of and the feelings that come from helping out and getting that back as well, right?
Correct.
Joaquin, is there anything else that you would like to address with regard to this incident or things that people that you want people to know?
Two things. Let's not forget about the people that need us right now. Farm workers being one of them. The farm worker community is hurting, just like everybody else. Let's not forget about them. Never again. The other one is, thank you to the COSI for being here. Everybody in the COSI for being here. Thank you.
Joaquin, thank you. Not only for graciously coming in this morning and helping us with this memorial show, people that are listening to hear our congressional representative's voice is important at the national level to know we are being seen. But hearing your voice this morning, too, and knowing the feeling of connection to you, maybe people that don't see you every day walking around, to know that you're here and that you're everywhere, I think is really soothing and helpful just to hear your voice. And I really appreciate you coming in this morning and giving us some time, because I know you got a lot of things that you're doing.
Yeah, well, thank you for covering the note. That's very important to us to know what's happening, what's been happening. It is unfortunate that it takes a tragedy like this, to put a spotlight again on the farm worker community. But thank you.
And yes, thank you. I also want to say thanks again for Campesinos, that Joe Pino's movie. It was really...
Joe Pony.
Yeah. Right. Sorry about that, Joe. I'm sorry. I can't let you go. Because another thing that came out of that movie that I think is important for people to understand is the graying of the farm worker community. That was one thing that came out of that movie. I'm sorry to be morbid, if you look at the ages of the victims, these are older folks. And so we're not talking about, there are, people in their 20s and 30s, but a lot of the Campesinos are older folks. And that's an even heavier level of stress and burden for an aging body and an aging mind to deal with these things. And they need extra help and assistance.
Correct.
And so people seemed surprised by that, but I would hope that Campesinos would be shown at all of our schools and other events. It's really as a jumping off point, not as this is all you need to know. You watch this and you're good to go. As a jumping off point, so that people will never again be like, I'm shocked at the conditions of farm workers live in. You should not be shocked.
Well, let me share something about our Campesinos or farm workers here in the coast. The oldest Campesino working in Half Moon Bay in the coast, he's 84 years old. We have a few other ones in their 80s. You saw the victims in their 70s. We are, the Campesinos, the farm workers, is an aging community. And we have to be careful with that. Because the coast... is known, we have our heritage, farming. We are farmers in the coast. It is an aging community. Who's going to be farming next?
Right.
Who are going to be the farm workers, harvesting our Brussels sprouts?
Yeah, because I haven't heard of Elon Musk coming up with any robots for the fields yet, right? There are some things that we need humans to do, and these are critical, essential workers.
Correct.
You're never getting out of here because I keep having more things. We got a couple of emails here.
Okay.
People are asking that the six of the seven victims were Asian, and they're asking, does ALAS provide services for the Asian farm worker community as well? Is it for all farm workers? Because I know that I think the perception is that... that ALAS is focused only on Latino farm workers. Does ALAS help all the farm workers of all ethnicities?
I want to clarify that actually there's three Latino victims. three out of the eight. Mm-hmm. So it's five that are Asian and three Latinos. We do provide services for our Asian community. This farm that we visit often, you know, the Mushroom Farm, California, you know, Terrace on 92, we provide a service for everybody. When we showed up, you know, first back in during 2020, during the pandemic, the services that we shared was with everybody. And those are some of the memories that I have. You know, as you know, we have a program that's called Farm Worker Friday, you know, in Alaska, that we bring lunches, you know, to farm workers in the community, in the whole coast. And the first lunch that we brought in, it was burritos from one of our local taquerias, you know, La Gallina, you know. You know, we showed up with the burritos, and now they were like, what's this? You know, they didn't know. I mean, that was food. Right? Other Latino workers, you know, trying to share with, you know, the Chinese workers, like, what's to eat? So they were like, they never seen a burrito before.
Wow.
Right? So, you know, one of the Latino workers, you know, unwrapped the foil paper from the burrito and showed it and then took a bite. You know, and that was how we started, you know, communicating. We started that relationship, you know. They started, you know, meeting tacos, burritos, sandwiches from our local San Benito Deli, you know, other places. Everything with the green sweaters that we were sharing, you know, with, you know, the farm workers here on the coast. You know, the services, bicycles, formal transportation, the food distribution that we do every other Thursday to the farms. Every other Thursday we do, the second and fourth Thursday of the month, we do food distribution to the farms. The Mushroom Farm was the first farm that we went to, the second and fourth Thursday. So we had that relationship. We brought boxes from our Second Harvest Food Bank of fresh produce, you know, milk, eggs, some type of protein, chicken most of the time. You know, and it was for everybody. The same thing with them. Help them apply for health insurance because they didn't have health insurance either. You know, they came into our office, you know, or I helped them with somebody from the county that could actually translate because of the language. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a really strong group that cares. You know, one of the members of the team, very young, you know, energetic, you know, Jorge, he uses Google Translator to be able to communicate with the, you know, Chinese community. Huh. So we did what we could, you know, to be able to communicate, and we were well welcome, you know, at the Mushroom Farm by everybody.
That is a wonderful anecdote you told about the first time eating a burrito. Yeah. Right? It's hard for me. I have several a week. It's hard to conceive of, like, going back to the first time. Like, the first time I had a burrito. Like, you know, I would have been a child. But to have seen that and to see a Latino farm worker with a Asian farm worker sharing a burrito. I mean, like, all right, I feel like there's hope for the world, you know, right?
Yeah, correct. So that's, you know, that's what we see when we go to the farms. You know, the farm workers, they have shared with us. You know, well, like mentioned, we do bring our sandwiches from, you know, our local, you know, San Benito Deli. Many of the farm workers never had a sandwich from San Benito Deli.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And many of the farm workers in general never really had anybody to go into the farms to provide services like Alice does. And they said it to us. Farm workers have been here for over 40 years. They said, I've been here over 40 years. Never had anybody come into the farm, you know, with things for us. You know, questions like, I mean, why? Why are you doing this, you know, for us? Because we care about you. You are part of the community. You are part of our family. You know, we grew up with you. We know each other. Why not do this for you? I mean, ask you a question, why not do this for you? We care about you.
And some people that would be like, well, I guess the word would be lip service, but we know from the folks that work at Alas and from you, Joaquin, that is true, felt, embedded deep. It's real. Like you said, it's real.
It is real, and thank you.
Thank you, Joaquin. Again, thank you so much for your time today and for our community, for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you had a chance to hear that. If you're just coming in now, please listen to the show, a recording of the show later today. We just had several minutes Wow, that, I felt like it was 5 minutes. It was like a half an hour. We just had an incredible half an hour conversation with Half Moon Bay City Council member Joaquin Jimenez. I'm stealing his phrase, but an angel of the community. Thank you, Joaquin. Really appreciate it. Wow, that I'm ready to call it a day, but this is a special memorial show. We're going to keep going a little longer than normal. We've got several, we've had a couple of calls, including from Congressperson Anna Eshoo. And hopefully we'll get a couple more calls in from the politicians that Joaquin referred to earlier in our conversation that are instrumental in bringing about the change that is needed on the coast side. And also they've indicated that they want to express their condolences and share their sentiments with the community. As we were discussing it, it's unfortunate that it takes an incident like this to galvanize people. But if that's, you know, it's happened, and if there's some good that can come out of this situation, hopefully it is an increased awareness and an increased motivation to work for a better life for everybody. All right. Thank you again, Joaquin. Thank you so much. I mentioned earlier I have a little bit of a fanboy dumb for Joaquin, and I've been wanting to have him on the show for a long time, and I'm just thankful that he was on the show because I really enjoy talking with him and love what he does. Okay, so again, this is a chance where we're doing kind of a special show. We're not going to end right at 10 o'clock as we usually do because people have indicated that they're feeling emotions. They're feeling things about what happened on Monday, and they're not sure what to do with it. I mean, yeah, you can post something on social media or something like that, but that's a two-dimensional where you're not really connecting in real time with a person. So this is a chance to call the show, 650-560-9851. And express yourself. You know, maybe help yourself heal. Maybe lift up other people's spirits with some kind words. You know, again, we were mentioning, like, how has this incident affected you? And what was your experience on Monday? What are you going to tell your kids about this? Okay. Again, thanks to Cameron's Pub and Restaurant for sponsoring our show. All right, so it's been a tough start to 2023. I mean, there's no denying that. But suddenly, after Monday, wait times on the 92 don't seem like the most pressing issues in our lives anymore. And what happened on Monday has, you know, potentially brought the coast side even closer together. And it is lucky that we are a close-knit community because this is the kind of situation and times where we need to rely on the family nature of our community that Joaquin referenced. So as part of that, consider what you want to take away from this week's events. And, you know, some thoughts are to donate to ALAS or to Coastside Hope, another important Coastside organization that helps those who need help. Talk to your children. Talk to your children. They need to understand. And maybe in talking to them, you will feel better. But this is not something that can be waved away. Focus on the positives of your life and the world in general. All right, some things to think about. Okay. This is not intended to be a doom and gloom show, but we can't also avoid the obvious. In that, the obvious is this was a mass shooting on Monday. 7 people were killed, as Joaquin, I appreciate him. We encourage and really demand accuracy on this show. apologize for getting the numbers wrong. Joaquin helped me with that. 4 Asian people, 3 Latinos were killed on Monday. And that is undeniable, okay? It was a mass shooting. And these days, it seems like it's not a question of if, but when. I mean, what kind of statement is that about our society? It seems inevitable that sooner or later, an active shooter incident is coming for you, or your school, or your place of business, or community. Part of the terror, part of the emotion that goes with one of these mass shootings is the randomness of it. Like, you know, you turn on the news, where did it happen today? You know, we were just still hearing details, fresh details about what happened down in Monterey Park, down in the Los Angeles area on Saturday. And here it comes to us. There have been public shootings before, obviously. And even before recent times. Surprisingly, a review of old newspapers, if you go back and you read, you know, pull it up on microfiche, if you look at newspapers from like the 30s and 40s and 50s, so there's a surprising number of incidents. Now, when I say surprising number, I guess that there were incidents, right? We have a sense that like things only happen in our frame of consciousness or our lifetimes. But you know, there over the past 150 years, there have been school shootings before. There have been mass shootings. But the frequency and the level of violence, there's no disputing the data that it has accelerated in recent times. You know, it's accelerated to the point where mass shooting now has a defined term. I mean, there's not a total consensus, but there's a general consensus among groups like the Gun Violence Archive and CNN and other organizations that a mass shooting is an incident in which 4 or more people are killed or wounded in one episode. This is, as I said, not a universal metric, but it's kind of a generally accepted number. And so having that kind of definition may contribute to why there's, if we look at a graph of the number of mass shootings, there's no denying the upward surge of the numbers. But they have happened before. But kind of in recent consciousness, there's some ones, it seems like it's happening more and more, right? But if we think back in 1966, those of us that are old enough, people might remember that a gunman shot and killed 15 people and injured 31 from the main tower building at the University of Texas. And that's kind of seen as like, this is just brutal to kind of comment on, but that the kind of the beginning of the modern era of mass shootings. I mean, wow, that's just a brutal thing to say, but there you go, right? That when people think back, when was the first mass shooting? That's probably the first one that comes to people's minds, even though, like I mentioned, if you look back in old newspapers, you will see other mass shootings. That, at the time, in 1966, was the deadliest mass shooting by a lone gunman in U.S. history. At the time, I grew up, as listeners know, in San Diego in the 70s and 80s. And during those two decades, there were 2 mass shootings that are part of this, you know, modern era of mass shootings that are quite well known. And they affected me as a child deeply. One was in 1979, a 16-year-old girl killed 2 students and wounded 9 at Cleveland Elementary School in San Diego, Brenda Spencer. When asked why, she answered, "I don't like Mondays. This livens up the day." And as a 10-year-old kid, she shot up an elementary school. As a 10-year-old kid, you have to ask yourself, could that happen at my elementary school? I mean, we have 10-year-old kids asking themselves these questions then and now. And that's why it's important after this event in Half Moon Bay. Talk to your children. They hear this. They see this. And then just a few years later, I mentioned that the University of Texas shooting was the deadliest mass shooting by a lone gunman in U.S. history at the time. It was surpassed in July 1984 when a man killed 21 people and wounded 19 at a McDonald's in San Ysidro, which is a community outside of San Diego, which is still the deadliest mass shooting in California history. I lived through those in San Diego. It was traumatic to San Diego, especially the San Ysidro massacre. But at that time, and I guess in our cultural innocence at the time, it felt anomalous. And it doesn't feel that way now. And when I say it felt anomalous, this is one way that we can kind of document the reality that there are more. It is happening more often. It's not just that it's being reported more often. Let us remember a time when, for a while, the term going postal, remember this term? You don't hear it anymore because it's not... if it ever was funny, it's not funny anymore. It was almost a punchline in our society, going postal. Ha, 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 ha. And this phrase came about after a USPS employee, U.S. Postal Service employee, killed 14 fellow employees and wounded 6 others at a post office in Edmond, Oklahoma in 1986. Between 1970 and 1997, more than 40 people were killed by current or former Postal Service employees in more than 20 incidents of workplace violence. Again, it felt like an anomaly, something so bizarre and unusual that it could be dismissed as specific to the Postal Service rather than our society at large. We dismissed these things to our peril. Were these things that we could have addressed at the time that we didn't? And now we're here with, I don't know, 19 or 26 mass shootings already in 2023 in the United States? With regard to going postal as a punchline, I love the show Seinfeld, but when you look back at it, there's an episode called The Old Man that aired in February of 1993, in which this is a joke. And I laughed at it at the time. Character Newman. I'm a United States postal worker. Character George. Aren't those the guys that go crazy and come back with a gun and shoot everybody? Character Newman. Sometimes. Character Jerry. Why is that? Character Newman. Because the mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming, and he goes on for a little while. As character Newman gets worked up, character Jerry cuts him off and says, "All right, all right, all right," to the giggles of the studio audience and recorded laugh track. And these are things that we don't even think of at the time. Oh, going postal, that's a punchline now. In our country, and for those that were alive, just like on 9/11, April 20th, 1999 changed everything in this country, or it should have. It did, but not in the way maybe it should have. This was the Columbine High School massacre in Littleton, an event as shocking, hurtful, and traumatic. I mean, not as many people died, but it's something embedded in my memory like 9/11. Of like, you just never forget it. You never forget where you were, what you were doing when this unbelievable event happened, when two students armed with automatic weapons and explosives stalked and murdered 15 people, including themselves, in their high school. It was a shocking, devastating event in our country's history. But rather than spur any meaningful action on gun safety or even mental health, it seemed only to spur copycat events and open the floodgates. And now here, Monday, it's happened in our community, and there can be no doubt that mass gun violence is no longer anomalous in our country. It has pervaded our national mindset, even down to our children. Active shooter drills have replaced air raid drills and even fire drills as the most important safety measure in our schools. Whether you're attending a concert, going to a club, a dance studio or your school. It could happen anywhere at any time. And this is part of the terror of this phenomenon. It's the randomness of it. But is it random? Are there things that we could do about it? Let's pause and think about that second for a second while we do our station ID. This is KHMVLP 100.9 FM, Half Moon Bay, California. This is Coastal Windage. I'm Reuben Truthmaker. This is a special memorial edition of Coastal Windage. We don't really have a specific end time. We're kind of working through some things here. We've had a couple of phone calls this morning from the community, from our local congressional representative, Anna Eshoo. We've had Council Member Joaquin Jimenez was in for an amazing conversation. And we're just trying to work through it. In preparing for the show today, I researched past mass shootings, a couple that I just described. And just reading about them affected my mental health. The brutal, heartless, point-blank killings are so disturbing. And this happened on Monday as well. Sheriff's officials and others who have been briefed on it describe it as execution-style killings. People were killed with shots to the head while sleeping and specifically searched out and killed point blank. Imagine the effect on witnesses, family members, co-workers, first responders. Their lives will never be the same. Thank goodness we have people like Joaquin and Alas and Supervisor Mueller and Representative Eshoo and others who are helping to ensure that there are support services, including counseling and mental health support services. You don't walk away from this. And people are going to need support for a long time. Okay, so what now? What are the issues? We have 7 dead farm workers and a community in mourning. The shooter was a resident of Half Moon Bay, and he's being charged with 7 counts of murder and 1 count of attempted murder. There's some discussion that this involved an ongoing feud, that it's an act of vengeance. I mean, okay. That relates to the conditions, the living and working conditions of the farm workers, and the need for mental health and support and counseling services. Life is stressful. And it's really stressful when you have a hard physical labor job for which you get very little pay and your living conditions are not optimal. So where do we go? Okay. First, we got to grieve this out, right? And tonight at 5 p.m., starting from MacDutra Park, is going to be a candlelight, a vigil. A march, a walk maybe, a march, that sounds too militant, a walk. Kind of, you know, where we need to think about right now is there's a sign at MacDutra Park right now that says, as a community, we grieve. And I think that's an important perspective to have. As a community, we grieve. Lean on each other. Don't compartmentalize it down into your own self. As Joaquin said, how does he recharge? Because he leans on his loved ones. He looks to them for support and energy. All right. This is Coastal Windage and Ruben Truthmaker. You're live on the radio right now. Who are we speaking with? Okay, man. Sometimes we lost the caller there. Sometimes people are waiting on the phone to get through the phone line, and then when they hear that you're live on the air, it's like just a moment of like, uh-oh. I mean, I kind of do it myself every morning at 8:59 when Frank gives me the high sign, okay, we're live. There's just a little moment in my throat of like, okay. That's all right. We're here for a while. If you want to call back, please do. Every call is important. You've got something on your mind. You're feeling something. Let's be honest with each other. Let's talk. Okay? Give us a call. 650-560-9851. If you get a busy signal, please try back, because we have like we'll get these like flashes where we get a bunch of calls all at the same time, and then people maybe get a busy signal and they're like, I can't call in, and then we'll have no calls for a while, and then everybody will call back at the same time. It's an interesting phenomenon. Okay, so we've got the vigil tonight at 5 p.m. starting at Mac Dutra. Oh, and here we go again. Let's try this again. All right. This is Ruben Truthmaker on Coastal Windage. We're live on the radio. Who are we speaking with right now?
Hi, Ruben. This is Matthew Chittister.
Matthew Chittister, city manager of the city of Half Moon Bay and awesome basketball player. Matthew, good morning.
Good morning. I don't know about the second part, but, you know, I tried.
You did very well, and I heard a couple of the Wizards, you know, mumbling under their breath, like, where did they get this big guy? Come on. Like, I thought we were going to roll this team. anyways, Matthew, thanks for calling in this morning. You know, one of the things I like about your story, Matthew, is that you're a hometown guy, right?
Yeah.
And you've come back, and I don't know if – I think I read somewhere, maybe I'm just putting my own thoughts on it, that this is kind of a dream come true of like you've come back and now you're a leader in your own hometown. And that's a great thing. But on a day or a week like this, it's got to be tough to see this happen to your town.
It is. Obviously, it's tough for everybody. And I never would have wanted to be in a position to have to, you know, with our city council, lead the city through this time. But I'm also grateful that I'm here right now. Just, you know, my connection to the community, the people here, the love and support that is poured in from the community. You know, I think it's a horrible, horrible situation, but we've got a lot of great people in the right position to help move us forward.
We were talking with Joaquin a little bit. You know, what are some actions that might come out of this with regard to the city of Half Moon Bay, or what has the city done right now in the last few days to address this situation? I know we're not going to solve any problems in 3 or 4 days after this, but what are some things that might come out of this with regard to city initiatives or city policy?
Yeah, that's hard to tell. I think that it'll be similar to what's happening now, which is the collaboration that's happening between the city and the county and our state and even federal representatives. And then, of course, all of our incredible nonprofits and community members that are active and supporting the work that all of us are doing. You know, all the focus right now is on the families, right? The victims. We have one of our community members who is hospitalized and recovering from direct impact from this. And then so many families that were present and living and working amongst are the victims that, you know, just need so much help and so much support right now. Once we help them, and it's really helping them with everything, you know, getting the mental health support that they need, the community resources that they need, the housing that they need. You know, one thing that's come to light is the really deplorable conditions they were living in. And, you know, and that's just unacceptable. And so I think that is one of the big things. We've known that housing is an important issue here. I don't think any of us knew how poor the conditions are that so many of our community members live in. So we've got to support these folks, but we know there's got to be more people experiencing that as well. And so we have to pull together to accelerate the work we're doing on housing to fix this immediately.
Right. I mean, that's definitely one of the things that has come out of this. And I'm sure that we all hope for that. And I feel like that's something that can happen, that will happen. And speaking with Joaquin and hearing this from you, I feel confident and in a positive way that things will get better. I mean, we're not going to, you know, wave a magic wand and it's instantly again, those problems will be solved. But I feel like people agree on that and are working towards it. And I know that this is not something that's necessarily within the bailiwick of the city of Half Moon Bay for sure and your duties, but that's something that we can address and that's something that the city of Half Moon Bay can address. But I guess, you know, one of the things that needs to be addressed is the fact that this was gun violence and a mass shooting. Like, mm-hmm. Is this more something that can be addressed at the mental health and mental health services and better living conditions? And if we can address that, then mass shooting gun violence will decrease? Or is this something that needs to be addressed at the legislative level with regards to rules and laws of guns and gun ownership?
You know, I'm sure that there's a place for that. You know, that is not something we're likely to address at the local level, but we'll obviously advocate for it. You know, the state of California has really tough gun laws. There's got to be more to it than that. You know, you mentioned mental health. Of course, that had to have played into this to some degree. And we know that many, many community members have struggled with mental health for a long time, and COVID only exacerbated that, and the floods have exacerbated that, and even this incident continues to exacerbate that. And so, you know, as a community, as a county, as a country, you know, we definitely need to continue to work to improve access to mental health services, removing the stigmas around it, and really helping people address what is the health crisis in our country. You know, I'm sure that plays a part. Gun control plays a part. There's probably more things that we don't even at this point know need to be addressed to fix this. But I think what we do know is that these types of incidents seem to be really focused and concentrated in the United States. So what are we doing differently than everyone else in the world that's led to this? And how do we fix it? You know, it's really sad for our town to be one of the places that's experienced this, but you know, it's happened across the country and unfortunately it's not going to stop until we get to the root of the problem.
I'm sorry to my brain is a bit of a jumble this morning. And so in listening I mean, let's back up a second to what you just said of like, I guess, you know, I before you called, I've been talking about other, you know, the acceleration of gun violence and how it just seems inevitable that it'll come to touch everybody's lives at some point. But and yet I guess I'm still struggling with the realization, though, the reality that this just happened here. Yeah. You know, like you want to go through your life and you feel like, okay, like the concert shooting in Las Vegas and the club shooting in Florida and Uvalde, Texas, and okay, but these, and we're sad about that and really shocked, but those are other places and this is us here and this, you know,
yeah.
But now it is here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you asked earlier about what are the next steps? What are we doing? And, you know, we have our CARES team, our mental health response team, and they played a role in some of the work that's been happening this week to support the victims and their families. And I went to their office the other day and kind of debriefed with them because this wasn't what we planned for that team to do, right? But they're, you know, they just take on whatever we ask. And there was a member of the county's mental health team there debriefing with them. And the question came up, and I think it's going to be an important thing we have to address is we got through you know, the visits from our elected officials and the media and all that. We have our vigil tonight and some interfaith services and community events next week. At what point and how do we shift to addressing the trauma that our entire community has experienced? I don't think any of us on the Coast Side are insulated from being traumatized by this incident. And how do we as a community address that and make sure that no one in our community is forgotten, that everyone has the opportunity to grieve, to process, to receive the mental health and counseling support that many of us are going to need. And that's going to be a big lift. But, you know, what I will say about this community, and I've said it to our staff a couple times, you know, we've just seen the worst in humanity. There are very few things, I think, in this world that are worse than what we've just witnessed. But we're also seeing the best in humanity, right?
Yeah.
Everybody is pouring in their support. Everyone wants to help. Everyone wants to pull together. And we've got to take that energy and that power to help us as a community, you know, lift ourselves out of it. And, you know, we had an all-staff meeting yesterday. It was the first time we've been able to just kind of pull all of our staff members together because they're all just running a million different directions trying to deal with the aftermath of this. And it wasn't a meeting with an agenda where we were going to cover a bunch of stuff. It was a chance for us to just talk and process together. And, you know, a lot of our employees are Coastside residents, and their families have been impacted, their kids have been impacted, the fear and just not understanding why this has happened, as you just talked about. And one thing that I've observed is one of the things we love about the Coastside is how safe it feels, right? Like, we live in a very, very densely populated urban area that all the things that come with it, crime and all those things. And Half Moon Bay is this, and the Coastside is this hamlet that's separated and still a small town, and we just feel safe, you know? And I told our staff, I said, our town is no less safe today than it was on Monday morning, but we've had something stolen from us, that belief that it's safe and that hope that it's safe and the innocence that we've had in this safe community. How do we get that back? You know?
I mean, that's a really brilliant insight, Matthew. We had Captain Rebecca Albin on the show. We interviewed her last month, and I asked her, you know, what are the top law enforcement issues, you know, as you look ahead? And gun violence was not even mentioned.
No.
And loss of innocence. I mean, that's one of the reasons we love living here, right? Is it still somehow, it still has that nostalgic small town feel where, you know, not literally, but, you know, people talk about in the old days we used to not lock our doors. Okay, well, people lock our doors now. We have our Nest cams and stuff. And yet, but we, you know, our children walk around and we're not in fear in our community. And as you said, we're not any less safe. This was a, hopefully, a one-off, but it did happen, and it's you can't just walk away and leave that behind. I'll ask you the same question that I asked Joaquin. Who cuts the barber's hair? You're talking about mental health support, and you and your staff and the mental health professionals are providing this support, but where do you turn? Where do these support people turn to diffuse their all of the emotional trauma that they're absorbing? And there's a Star Trek episode, an original Star Trek episode called The Empath, in which this character absorbs all the pain of characters around them to her demise. And how are the mental health professionals and city staff and yourself diffusing that mental trauma?
Yeah. And we talked about this with our staff yesterday. And, you know, I think we have to start with our first responders, you know, the people that those families that were there and the mental and the first responders. You know, we don't think about this, but our first responders deal with emotional and mental trauma almost every day of their lives. They see things that none of us ever wants to see. They experience things that none of us ever wants to experience. and they do it over and over again. I mean, this even goes to the 911 call takers and the trauma that they experience. And the good thing is that's been recognized, and most of those organizations have systems in place and protocols in place to address the mental health needs immediately after an incident like this. And I've talked with, you know, Chief Cox from the fire district and Captain Alvin from the sheriff's office and Nicole from Public Safety Communications, and they're working on that. They're making sure their staff are getting the help they need. Part of the reason we held that meeting with our staff yesterday is to start that process. I also really worry about our nonprofits who are on the front lines supporting these families. They've been at it since Monday night. They also are experiencing trauma. And, you know, luckily, that's part of what they do. You think of, like, ALAS. That's part of what they do for the community. They provide mental health services. And hopefully what they've learned and what they do can be turned inward to support themselves. We as a city, like most employers, have EAP, an employee assistance program, where we ensure that every single one of our staff always has free access to mental health and support services. I'll be honest, I called them this week. I've never, you know, I've worked in lots of jobs that had access to this. I've never used those services. I've never felt the need. I'm a resilient person. I'm a happy person. And I still feel fine. You know, obviously it's been an emotional roller coaster, and, you know, I think a lot of us feel like at any moment we're on the verge of breaking down and being in tears, and many of us have cried a lot of tears. But I try to be self-aware enough to know this is one of the most traumatic things I've ever experienced. So I'm just going to reach out. I'm going to take advantage of this resource, and I'm going to start that process and make contact with someone, which I have, and had that conversation, and so they know what I'm going through. And at the touch of my phone, I can call them back and talk to them. And I've encouraged really strongly that all of my staff do that, and I would encourage the entire community. If you have health coverage and it provides mental health support, just go ahead and set that up right now. If you've never used it, set it up right now. Because when you start to feel a crisis coming on, you don't want to have to register or sign up or make phone calls. You want to be able to connect with somebody immediately. If you don't have access to that, there are lots of services out there. I don't have it handy. I apologize, but I know it's been put out in some of our publications, and our nonprofits know about it. But the county has a warm line where you can call and get connected to mental health services and someone you can talk to. 988 was just set up in our county last summer. You can call that number 24/7, and there's a trained mental health professional that will answer that call 24/7, and they will talk you through any kind of mental health crisis. And the great thing about the Coastside is we put this CARES team in place. If this person on the phone can't help you, they will dispatch the CARES team out to give you some face-to-face support. And it's very low-key. There's no lights and sirens. They're not uniforms. And your neighbors won't even know what's happening, but they can come out and talk to you as well. I guess what I'm trying to say is we all need to take steps right now to put something in place to address our mental health needs.
That's really an important message, Matthew, because, I mean, you're a big guy, and like you said, you're a positive, generally happy, and resilient guy, and you're acknowledging the need for this for yourself. And it's an important message. I'm glad you're communicating to people, because in the past, maybe less now, but in the past, there has been a stigma, right? Oh, well, if I need mental health services, that means I'm weak or there's something wrong with me. And that's not true. And if you need help, you need help, and to not feel, you know, that it's some criticism of yourself. I mean, you're doing a good thing by helping yourself.
Yeah. I mean, here's what I told my kids. If you break your arm, are you going to treat it yourself and be embarrassed to go to the doctor and have them put a cast on it? Like, right. No. It's not your fault. You broke your arm, and someone's going to help you address it so you heal. This trauma is no one's fault. So there should be no embarrassment about seeking help to heal from this trauma. Much easier said than done. We, as you said, there's been the stigma. Not everybody takes advantage of it. Now is the time.
Now is the time. That's an excellent statement for the moment. Well, Matthew, thank you so much for giving us your time this morning, for calling and helping the community, just to hear your voice, and also for what you're doing through the city of Half Moon Bay. The city of Half Moon Bay, in my opinion, is very lucky to have you as city manager, and is part of the reason that the response to this situation and the things that have been going on at the beginning of 2023 have been, at, you know, as good as they can be given the situations. Thank you, Matthew, for the call and for doing what you do.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. All right. Thank you very much. Matthew, have a great day and take care of yourself.
Just a reminder, there's a vigil downtown at 5 o'clock tonight, and we would love to share in it with the community.
Absolutely. I hope everybody will be there.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Matthew. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. That was Matthew Chittister, city manager of City of Half Moon Bay. Again, if you're just tuning in, this is a special memorial edition of Coastal Windage, reflecting on the events from Monday and giving people a chance to talk about it with each other here in the community. Okay, we've got another phone call. This is Ruben Truthmaker with Coastal Windage. You're live on the air. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, Ruben. This is Ray Mueller. I got your message. You would like me to call in.
I mean, myself, but the community. Listeners, this is the new District 3 supervisor for the County of San Mateo, Ray Mueller. Sorry, Ray.
Mueller, it's okay.
Yeah, Mueller. Ray, thank you so much for calling in. Yes, the reason that I know you've been really active here on the coastside for the last 3 weeks. But this week and today on the show, I'm really glad that you called in, because I think it's reassuring for people to hear the voices of the people who can enact change, who really have their hands on the machinery of government, like Representative Eshoo and Matthew Chittister and yourself. So thank you for calling in, Ray.
Well, it's my pleasure.
So what can you give us some general thoughts that you have on the situation?
You know, I am just been so I've been so first off, the underlying tragedy was and continues to be incredibly heartbreaking. Being with the families affected and the impact on them, and watching them as they try to go through the process of counseling and is very life's never going to be the same. And in some respects, it's never going to be the same here in San Mateo County and in Half Moon Bay, because there's been, you can't wind back the clock. It's happened here now. And when you have a mass, you know, it's the largest mass shooting in the history of the county. And so the question as a policymaker is, what do we do now? What do we do now to go ahead and make sure that it doesn't happen again to the extent we can? And what do we do now as we peel back the layers of all the circumstances surrounding it to try to find all the different ways that we can be better? Certainly what happened is that is on the shooter, 100%. It's tragic. It's horrific. He needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And as a policymaker, now my job and my fellow policymaker's job is to look at all of the incidents around it and find as much as we can to try to change for the better. And that's what we've been focused on now. And in the process of while we're doing that, been so inspired by the community. I have been so inspired and just so grateful to witness the love and compassion and charity of the Half Moon Bay community and the communities around us who have rallied together around these families and who hunger for change. And that is something that's just, it'll stay with me forever.
Well, I know that in times like this, people look to their leaders, right? And to have leadership that shows up, right? I mean, a saying in sports is, you know, showing up is most of the game, right? You got to be there. And so to have Governor Newsom come here, to have you be in town or over here on this side as much as you've been just in these 3 weeks, right? I mean, trial by fire, Ray, right? You've gone through about 2 years of being a supervisor in 3 weeks here. But having you here, knowing that there's a commitment, we often feel isolated here. We're a close-knit community and we bond together, but sometimes we feel isolated. And so feeling that presence and knowing that policymakers care for us and are watching and are rolling up sleeves and coming over here and getting involved, I hope and I believe offers some solace at times like this for our community. And so,
We didn't even talk about the storms.
I know, I mean, again, like suddenly 92 doesn't seem like, a real important issue anymore, right? I mean,
no, it's incredibly important. But I mean, the 92 is functioning again, but we have so much work to do in terms of connectivity for the coast. I mean, I can't believe that if you cut a wire in La Honda that we lose Comcast connectivity for the coast. And that we lose Verizon connectivity piggybacked on that. Oh, and by the way, people were without power for over a week, 10 days in some areas of the coast. We have so much work to do to build resilience and make sure that the coast isn't isolated in a time of natural hazard event. We'll be unpacking the last month for many months to come. But what I can tell you is, boy, there sure is a fire lit in my office in the county to address all these issues.
And I think it's, people are cynical in this day and age, Ray, especially with politicians. But I think it says something about the commitment that you've made that people believe that. You know, people right now are not feeling cynical and negative. They believe that they're being listened to, and I think that that's a tribute to what you've done already in the short time on the job, is that people believe in you, and that's why I'm really glad that you called in and people could hear your voice this morning.
Well, that's really kind of you, but it is a team effort, so whatever people are believing in, let me assure you, it's not just me. There are so many people on the coast working and helping me up and down the coast, pitching in, trying to figure out solutions, coming to us. And I just, every time they do, I try to connect them with the team member here at the county. So my message to everybody is keep coming, keep pushing. Don't in any way back down. We have to bring this change now. So, and if we keep that momentum and keep that energy from this, we will. So it's all team. So, but thank you for your kind words. I appreciate it.
Of course, Ray, and just as Joaquin Jimenez did earlier, you know, the humility is part of why people believe, right?
I love Joaquin, so
I
he's
do.
A good man.
He is a great man. Well, Supervisor Ray Mueller, thank you so much for doing what you've done for already during this really incredible 2023 already, and we look forward to your help and care in the future. And thank you again for calling in this morning on this special episode where we're trying to grieve and to heal and to move forward, and for letting people hear your voice and knowing that somebody's listening.
Thanks, I appreciate that very much, and it's been an honor to be with everyone out there. And I, as I said on the night that it happened, if people are still grieving and if they feel alone, please reach out. No one is alone. And so please reach out. We have services available to people. It's been an incredibly stressful time on the coast, and it makes a lot of sense why someone would be feeling stressed at this moment or feeling grief. So please. But with that, I appreciate it, and you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Take care of yourself, Ray. Thank you very much.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, that was District 3 Supervisor for the San Mateo County Board of Supervisors, Ray Mueller. Earlier, we had Half Moon Bay City Manager Matthew Chittister call in. We had a 40-minute live in-studio interview with Half Moon Bay City Council member Joaquin Jimenez. And to lead off the show this morning, we had a phone call from California District 16 U.S. Representative Anna Eshoo. So, you know, this is an indication that eyes are on the community right now. And these are folks with integrity and heart who care about our community and are concerned, are worried about us and looking in. And express, want people to hear their voices and know that they are involved and will continue to be involved. Okay, so we can take some solace from that. All right. You know, Governor Newsom, I mean, okay, let's just take a step back right now. Whether you like Governor Newsom or you don't like Governor Newsom, he was here on Tuesday. He was here. Okay, that says something. And again, if you don't like him, you're going to say, well, he was just here to show. But no, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe that he cares, as does Anna Eshoo, Matthew Chittister, and Joaquin Jimenez, and Ray Mueller. And he was here. We've received condolences from President Biden, and there's discussion that Vice President Harris is going to come soon. Okay, so eyes are on us. And you can think what you want, but I'm a generally cynical person, but I'm opening my mind and my heart. Right now is the time to open your mind and your heart, and I believe these people, and I want to believe them. Okay. We talked about what are some of the issues here. We talked about the conditions that farm workers live and work in. And that's an important issue that's surfaced here. And I believe in talking with Joaquin and Matthew Chittister that things are moving forward on that front. And problems are not going to be solved overnight. But things are moving forward on that front. But there's another issue that we were talking about earlier that is inextricable from this situation, and that is that this was gun violence. Okay, a mass killing done with a gun. And you may say this is not the time for a debate on gun laws in the country, and I don't necessarily disagree with that, but when is the time? Because it never is the time. Okay, immediately after a mass shooting, it's not the time because people need to heal and grieve and move through it. But then once they've healed and grieved and moved through it, then it's no longer a pressing priority. And so it's kind of a cycle that continues on and on. There are no mass killings by any other weaponry. There are no mass knife killings. There are no mass sword killings or club killings or fist killings. I mean, people are killed with those things, but you're not going to kill 53 people or 200 people in a club with a knife. So if we can just set aside our position on gun ownership or not and admit that there is an issue here with this particular device, well, what can be done? I mean, it's in the Constitution. Well, okay, again, like, we're not going to have this debate here on this show. This is not what this show's about. But it's the Article 2 of the Constitution, the Second Amendment, is up for debate. Okay, so let's just move beyond that. It doesn't necessarily have to be this way with regards to gun violence. Countries, other democracies, other capitalist-based countries in the world have introduced gun laws have seen a reduction in gun-related deaths based on these gun laws. In Australia, less than 2 weeks after Australia's worst mass shooting, the federal government implemented a new program banning rapid-fire rifles and shotguns and unifying gun owner licensing and registrations across the country. In the next 10 years, gun deaths in Australia fell by more than 50%. A 2010 study in Australia found the government's 1997 buyback program, which was part of the overall reform, led to an average drop in firearm suicide rates of 74% in the 5 years that followed. South Africa. Gun-related deaths dropped almost 50% over a 10-year period after new gun legislation, the Firearms Control Act of 2000, went into force in July 2004. These new laws made it more difficult to obtain a firearm. New Zealand. Okay, gun laws were swiftly amended after the 2019 Christchurch mosque shootings. Just 24 hours after the attack. We talk in this country about how it's now is not the time. It's too soon. We need to grieve. We need to take a step back and see what happened and analyze it. Less than 24 hours after the attack, the Christchurch mosque shootings, in which 51 people were killed, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced that the law would change and that New Zealand's and subsequently New Zealand's parliament voted almost unanimously to change the country's gun laws less than a month later. So 24 hours later, the leader of the country said this is going to change, and within a month, laws had been changed, banning all military-style semi-automatic weapons. It can happen. It can happen. Britain. Britain tightened its gun laws and banned most private handgun ownership after a mass shooting in 1996, a move that saw gun deaths drop by almost a quarter over a decade. So it can happen. Will it happen? I don't know. It seems that the way our society is divided right now, it's not even about gun ownership anymore. But other countries have figured out how to do it. Okay, another issue that this brought up was that this was an issue, I'm talking about the mass shooting on Monday. It involved workplace issues. It was not a hate crime. The district attorney has stated that this was about work conditions in the workplace. And we talked with City Council Member Joaquin Jimenez about the conditions that farm workers face. But it's not just farm workers, right? A lot of these mass shootings, we talked about U.S. Postal Service employees and the spate of workplace incidents that occurred over a 30-year span. Workplace issues relationships among employees, working conditions, job responsibilities. You know, this is something that I guess I'm a little surprised that this hasn't happened at a Silicon Valley company, because, you know, the modern way is you know, we're cutting staff. Many Silicon companies just cut up to 10% of their staff. Thousands and thousands of people were just laid off in the past couple of weeks. And you know who's going to do their work? The people that are still there. So whereas there used to be 12,000 more employees at a company like Alphabet, there's now 12,000 less, but there's not 12,000 people less work to be done. And so when these layoffs occur, And when companies want to ramp up employee production and increase their stock price so that they can, you know, that they can make a good forecast on the next market call, that has a real effect on the employees that work at those companies. And it's stressful from top to bottom. The work still needs to be done, and now less employees are doing it with the same expectation of quality and production. So workplace issues, this is a factor in this incident. Something that didn't factor into this, some people have been not necessarily rumor mongering, but just putting out there that, well, this is a cannabis farm. Whether it was or was not had really nothing to do with it, because people are still operating under this kind of mindset that it's an illegal street drug or something like this. This is a public legal enterprise that was voted on by the citizens of the city of Half Moon Bay and the County Board of Supervisors. And this is not a retail facility where you've got a finished product and you can come in and, you know, knock it over for a bunch of cash or a bunch of end product. As far as I understand, it's only starter crops for cannabis within the Half Moon Bay city limits and within the San Mateo County city limits, or at least in the unincorporated county out here on the coast side. So this was not about cartels or anything to do with that in cannabis. So I wish people would get off of that. Let's see. Many coastsiders, especially parents, are concerned with the timeline of events. Notifications and public communications from the school district and the county. And I'm just going to say, like, we can't even... San Mateo County alerts? This is not a movie where everything's dialed into the last second and there's a, you know, like, there's all this data. That's not the real world, okay? If people haven't figured it out by now, like, these timelines, even body cams, all of this technology doesn't give you a second-by-second, blow-by-blow, perfect scenario. Okay, one sec. Hold that thought for a second. We've got another call. This is Ruben Truthmaker on Coastal Windage. You're live on the radio right now. Who are we speaking with?
This is Deborah Penrose, mayor of Half Moon Bay.
Mayor Penrose, hello. Thank you for the call. Really appreciate this.
Yes, I'm in the car traveling, so I'm not sure about connection.
Okay, be safe, right? Hands free, right?
Oh, I'm not driving.
Oh, excellent. Nice. Okay. Mayor Penrose, thank you for calling. It's really great for the community to hear your voice. What are your thoughts?
Well, I just got finished with a press conference here in Redwood City with the Asian American Pacific Islander Caucus and our local chapter, organized by Wayne Lee and attended by Josh Becker, our state senator, Dave Pine, and Ray Muller, and Jeff Chi from Redwood City, and a lot of people from mental health and from the American Asian caucus here in the Bay Area. And they have lots of questions. They have lots of concerns. And we talked about the difficulty that the cultural differences have made it for us to really understand that there are Chinese Americans and Chinese living here in our country under intolerable conditions, working as agricultural workers, and that it's something that we need to start paying attention to.
And what I'm not, it's hard for me to get a grip on this issue, because being a person that has looked at U.S. history and California history, it seems, especially with regard to Asian Americans, this has been an issue for 200 years.
Yeah.
How can we, in 2023, how can we meaningfully move this ball forward in a meaningful way?
Well, I think understanding who your neighbors are start. I had no idea we had Chinese farm workers here in Half Moon Bay, nor did any of my colleagues on council. It came as quite a surprise to us. And the fact that they are working alongside our Hispanic farm workers, we know well, came as a surprise. So I think the first thing to do is acknowledge the existence of a community of folks that are our neighbors. And I think that one of the ways we can do that is by reaching out to the families that have been affected and make certain that their living conditions are corrected and that they are able to access the basic services that all citizens of the United States and all immigrants here to our country have the right to access: health care, medical care, mental health care, and other services.
I mean, there's a policy level to this, but what I'm also hearing from you and what I heard from Joaquin is, and you know, what we feel in our household too is, you know, underlying this as the foundation for this, as you said, needs to be a basic respect for fellow humans, that there are things that everybody needs, and that are, those things are mental health, the feeling of safety, right? Housing, food and security. You know, these are basic human needs that every human needs. And if there are elements of our society that need help with that, we need to reach out and make that happen. And that's what I'm hearing from Joaquin and Matthew and yourself with regard to especially the city of Half Moon Bay.
Well, exactly. It's not just that we need to give our hearts and minds to the situation. It's our responsibility. It's our civic responsibility. It's our human responsibility to care for our neighbors. Period. There is no excuse for allowing fellow human beings to live in inadequate circumstances.
I feel that that's especially poignant statement when we live, you know, when we live 15, 20 miles from, you know, the beating heart of the industrial, technological, and even economic world, and 20 miles away, we've got people living in storage containers.
Exactly. That's
Yeah. These are weighty topics, Mayor Penrose, and I appreciate you carrying them on your shoulders as mayor and city council person, along with Joaquin and the other city council members. Thank you for caring about our community. And anything else you want to let the community know?
Just that we're all in this together, and that I am 100% available 24/7 to anybody who wants to talk, who wants to offer advice, who has questions, who has answers. And my phone number is 650-454-5891, and I can be reached at any time. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Mayor Penrose. Take care. And and again, take care of yourself, and thank you for what you do.
Okay. Thanks, Ruben. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. That was Mayor Deborah Penrose, mayor of Half Moon Bay. We really appreciate her taking the time, driving back from an important meeting on the other side of the hill in Redwood City, driving back on the newly opened Highway 92 in both directions. That's what I'm hearing. There's no one-way traffic control right now. Enjoy that while you can, because you know what? Frank's looking over at me and nodding. You know what, Frank? There's a third hot spot that's about to open up as you go up the long hill going westbound on this side of the hill, eastbound on this side of the hill. There's another erosion spot that's looking like, hopefully we'll have some dry weather, and Caltrans can get those two problem spots fully fixed, and then they can address this third hot spot before it erupts as well. But I don't know. This, you know what this year feels like right now? This is the analogy that I was thinking of. since we're a surfing community. You're out there surfing, you're on a wave, you fall off your board and you get washed over by that wave. And you get pushed down under the water and you're holding your breath and you come up and you break the surface, and right as you're taking a gulp of air, here comes another wave right down on top of you. You barely got enough chance to get like a little bit of air, and you go back under, and now you're in deficit because you didn't get a full lung of air. You maybe got a half a lung, and you're down under there, and you're like waiting. You come back up, and a third wave hits you, and now you're down to a quarter capacity of lung capacity of air in your lungs, and you're thinking to yourself, how many more of these waves, you know, like, can I withstand? That's kind of what it feels like in 2023 for the coast side, that we've been hit with like two or three or four waves in a row, and we're kind of getting into oxygen deficit a little bit. So let's hope that great things, positive things, forward moving things that address some of the underlying issues of Monday's mass shooting, that solutions to those things will happen as a result of this, and we'll come up after this last wave and be able to get a full breath of air and paddle out and catch that big 20 footer back into shore. All right, we need to do the top of the hour here. This is KHMVLP 100.9 FM, Half Moon Bay, California. This is a special memorial episode of Coastal Windage. We don't really have a set end time. We kind of felt like we'd go until it felt like a natural ending point. And I'll just have some. I think we're about there. If people want to call, please do. We've had several incredible phone calls this morning. The show started off with a call from U.S. Representative Anna Eshoo, who represents California District 16, our congressional district, to express her feelings, her sympathies for the coast side. It's really important to hear her voice. We had city council member and general community hero Joaquin Jimenez in for a long conversation, moving and enlightening conversation. We had Half Moon Bay City Manager Matthew Chittister call in and give us some perspective from the city manager's desk. We also had new San Mateo County District 3 Supervisor Ray Mueller call in. And just recently, we had Half Moon Bay Mayor Deborah Penrose. We also have had a couple other callers from the community call in to express their feelings, and I really appreciate those calls as well. Okay, so in thinking about this issue, the conditions of farm workers on the coast side and elsewhere live and work in on a daily basis, gun laws, gun ownership, gun attitude probably isn't an issue. Workplace relationships, general personal interactions. Some of the reporting on this says that this was an ongoing, they use the word feud, that there was some name calling and some general personality differences that possibly provoked this. So there's a lot of things going on that need to be considered. Mental health is an issue. Okay, so let's talk about, as we kind of wrap up this special memorial broadcast, let's talk about some things that folks can do. Number one, reach out to your loved ones, embrace them, talk to your kids, have a conversation. Two, think about how you can contribute to organizations like ALAS, or even the city of Half Moon Bay. How can you get involved to help? There's going to be a vigil at 5 o'clock tonight, starting at Mac Dutra Park. That's one expression, right? If you can go there and participate in that, you can make donations. Ayudando Latinos a Soñar, ALAS, is the lead organization helping to support the farm workers affected by this tragedy. You can donate to them. They are managing the Half Moon Bay Strong Fund. They are administering it. And this fund will directly support the farm worker community. You can donate it to that at... I'm not sure that there's a URL that I was given. It looks... I'm not sure if this is accurate. So I think the best thing to do would be to go to the ALAS, A-L-A-S website, and you can donate to the Half Moon Bay Strong directly from there. I also read that this week the Ocean Blue Art Vault on Main Street is going to match all sales from the nonprofit wall in their gallery and will double all proceeds dollar for dollar and donate it to ALAS. So you can purchase something at the Ocean Blue Art Vault and help the Half Moon Bay Strong Fund or ALAS. Coastside Hope in El Granada is another organization that is providing support to farm workers and other people in our community that need help. Okay. I think we've reached a point where we can probably call it a day on this show. It's been very, for me, healing in a way of like, it's nice to know that the decision makers, the policy makers, the people with authority, the people that can move the ball are listening to the community, are listening to this show, and have taken the time to reach out and call the show, or in the case of Joaquin, come to the show, come to the studio, and participate in today's show and in the emotional collective of the Coastside. Okay, so next week, barring a fourth wave, barring another wave coming and submerging us as we're trying to catch our breath, Coastal Windage will return with its standard fare of local stories and hot topics, including, we're working on this right now, so we've postponed our Shooting the Breeze live interview with Jane Kim and Thayer Walker of Inkwell Studios. We really want to hear about their new migrating mural project for the harbor. We discussed this a few weeks back. Jane Kim has a mural at MacDutra Park. When you go there tonight for the vigil, check that out. It's the Marine mural across the street from Julie Engelman's incredible Pumpkin Festival mural. So we're going to hear from them hopefully on February 10th. Next week, if we try to think about positive things, next week we're trying to get California rescue swimmer Riley Rhodes on the show. This is a story that has been lost in the events of Monday. There was a incredible, without words, ocean rescue by Riley and her partner Max Hunter last Sunday as it was getting dark. King tides in the ocean. They were out in the water. They went into the water at dark to locate and rescue a lone swimmer. They were out there, reports are, for over an hour. And they brought the person back in alive. This is one of the most incredible stories I've ever heard. I love maritime history and maritime stories, especially shipwreck and rescue stories. And when a person goes in the water that long, it's usually the outcome is not good. And for two rescue swimmers to go in the water at dark at king tides is such a selfless act of heroism. I can't get over it. And I really, really, really hope we can get Riley in here in the studio to talk about her experience, and so that I can just try to understand the level of courage that it takes to go into the water at dark in king tides, the ocean, We're not talking a lake here. The ocean, the power, the immensity of the ocean. And find a lone swimmer and bring that person back. Wow. Okay, if we're looking for some way to feel better, look at the people we have in our community, the people that called into the show today, Joaquin Jimenez and Riley Rhodes and Max Hunter. Wow. So that's what we're trying to do for next week. I hope you will tune in. I hope you will. This is a show, this radio show, this live show every Friday morning at 9 a.m. is for the community. It's a live platform where you can talk, where we can discuss issues that just happened, that are fresh in our minds, that are happening now from a local perspective with local callers. This is not KCBS News out of San Francisco or someplace else, someplace across over the hill. This is our radio station and our live talk radio show and our callers and our perspectives and our feelings. And that's important. That's important. We have the paper, and that's a weekly paper with a website that's updated daily. We have Coast Side Buzz, which digests all of the important meetings and news items that are going on the coast. But we don't have a daily television news broadcast about what's going on the coast. And rarely do we have articles or stories outside of the coast side that focus on the coast side, except when something like Monday happens. But Coastal Windage, KHMB, This is one of the opportunities for the coast side to be timely and live and real. And I hope you'll tune in next week when we once again go through local topics and local perspectives, and hopefully we'll have a chance to talk to a local hero, Riley Rhodes. Okay. Coastsiders, be well. As Matthew Chittister said, Set up your mental health situation now. Don't wait for trauma to happen, but be well. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you next Friday. This is Reuben Truthmaker with Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.